How much money do you think you need to make in order to be happy? Think about that for a minute. How much money do you think you need to make in order to be happy? A week or so ago, I heard a report on National Public Radio where actually someone did examine all sorts of data, looking for the Gallup polls and everything. One of them was an economist from Princeton. The other was a psychologist. And they came up with a figure. What was it? Did you hear it? $75,000. If you make $75,000, they said, and I guess this may vary in different markets, you know, it may be a little bit more in, you know, on the West Coast or up in the Northeast Corridor than it is out in South Dakota, I don't know. But if you make less, you are maybe living with a little bit of insecurity and uncertainty. But beyond $75,000, you're not really any happier. So now, scientific study has given us the level, $75,000, which we can be happy, at which we can be content. Contentment. When some of us hear that word, we play the game, if only. If only I made $75,000. Of course, is that $75,000 before tax or after tax? If only I didn't have to face this particular problem. If only. You know the rest of the game, don't you? If only this and this and this and this would fall into place, then I would be content. Contentment. When others of us hear that word, it is not so positive a thing in our minds. Because perhaps in being contented, we are stuck. We are stuck in place, and we are not hearing the movement of life and of the spirit, maybe. I wonder if our young people hear the word contentment different from those of us of a few more years. Contentment. Our English word contentment comes actually from the Latin word contentus, which is the past participle. Well, you don't need to know all that. But literally, it means to hold in, to contain, which may be why some of us hear that word more positively than others. Because others of us, some of us, appreciate that sense of containing, and others feel it to be somewhat of a prison. Contentment. When the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the person he was mentoring, Timothy, he spoke of contentment and connected it to godliness, you know, kind of the desire to step out and to be as God would like us to be more like, you know, the God who gifts us with so much that is good and right. And he used the word for contentment, he used the Greek word autarkeia, which means self-sufficient. And it goes, actually, it's a word that comes from Greek philosophy, specifically the Stoic tradition of Greek philosophy. You don't need to know all that, but it's the ability to become independent of circumstances so that you are self-sufficient. But I have a feeling that that word self-sufficient is heard differently nowadays than it may have been heard back in the day that Paul wrote these words. Because I have a feeling that when we hear the words self-sufficiency, we place more emphasis upon the word self than we do upon sufficiency. Case in point, just yesterday, on the NPR program, you can tell what I listen to on Saturdays as I'm doing stuff around the house. This American Life had a segment in it in which the host was interviewing the person on NPR who covers Wall Street, Adam Davidson. And it was about looking at Wall Street following the economic crisis that we've gone through. I mean, officially, the recession is over. We just heard that this past week. The recession is over. Yay! Does it feel over? Well, it is, supposedly. Okay. And he was, first of all, talking about his coverage of the bailout of all these big banks, and he had done a lot of interviewing of investment bankers and others, and one thing he noted, and he ended up going into a couple different bars where these people were to interview them a little bit more. One thing he noted is that he has not, in all of his coverage, heard in relation to the bank bailout two simple words: thank you. Have you heard those words in relation to the government bailing out the banks? No sense of gratitude? Have you heard that? He hasn't, and he's covered Wall Street. And he went in and he was talking to these people, and he had another person with him, which is saying, you know, why haven't we heard the words thank you? And it was kind of interesting hearing, and he had these persons interviewed, and I was listening to them. None of these persons, who are, by the way, you know, they're blaming the current administration for all these problems. They're not taking responsibility for causing any of the problems. They're blaming it on somebody else. But these persons are basically saying they didn't benefit from the bailout. They didn't benefit from the bailout. But the reason that they still have their jobs, the reasons that why they're making money right now is because, and this is a quote, that they are smarter than your average person. Remember what I said about self-sufficiency and the emphasis upon self more than sufficiency. What is contentment? What do you need in order to be happy? Now, if we listen to the Apostle Paul, the answer is not much. I'm not sure we all could agree on that, but that's what Paul said. Of course, Paul, in a lot of his letters, was writing from where? Prison. And he, in those places, had learned how to be content, whether he had a lot or a little. In fact, that's a direct quote from his letter to the Philippians. His circumstances had taught him a bit about contentment. Contentment being the ability to see what you have as being enough. Enough. Now, granted, there should always be within us, I believe, a little bit of that stretch that comes with not having enough. And I'm not talking about material things here necessarily. I believe that we need that stretching that God gives us for the desire for the things of God, that God will richly provide for us. Not necessarily bucks in the pocket, but the ability to step out and be stretched by faith to walk through what could be some very wilderness kind of experiences to us, in which we grow. I mean, we never need to be, should be content enough just to be satisfied with what we've got now from God. And again, I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about in how we walk with God. I mean, we've heard the call. We have heard the stretch today concerning the poor. We heard it from the psalmist about how God has a very strong concern for the stranger, for the widow, for the orphan. We heard it from Amos in Amos's day, which was a time of contentment when you think about it for the rich. It was, in Amos's day, Israel was kind of at its pinnacle of influence and expansion. But it was also a time when the rich were preying on the poor. And not all was content. At least not for those on the edge. And we heard Jesus through that humorous little story about Lazarus and the rich man. We heard the call to pay attention to places like the Family Crisis Center. The call to pay attention to those who need food. We have heard the call in a variety of ways, and it is fairly clear. And there should be some discontent within that. You know, as we look at ourselves and we think, you know, have I done enough? And in saying that, I'm not trying to lay guilt down. I'm just saying that discontent can be a good thing if it prods us to step out by faith a little bit more. Contentment. I like how Eugene Peterson puts those first few verses of Paul's letter to Timothy that we read this morning. A devout life does bring wealth, but it's the rich simplicity, of being yourself before God. Isn't that what contentment is? That you are yourself before God. Yes, maybe not all that you're meant to be, but you're still yourself. Just as I am, we sing. And we come just as we are. God is there stretching us a little bit more, but we still come as we are. The devout life does bring wealth, but this wealth is in the simplest of things. It is in the simplicity of being who you are before God. Since we entered this world penniless, and we will leave it penniless. If we have bread on the table and shoes on our feet, that is enough. How much do you need to be happy? How much do you need to be content?